Well, let's welcome you back to This Week in the Association. I'm Rob Pannier, not joined by my good buddy Kevin Lucco tonight, who's in heaven watching Brian Adams here tonight. But I am honored to be joined by a dynamic duo from the Milwaukee Milkmen. So Anthony Barone, manager Anthony Barone, joining me, and pitcher of the month Christian Young joining me. So, guys, thanks for joining me here tonight.
Thanks for having us, Rob.
Yeah.
Well, let's start out. Christian, let's just talk about great month that you had there in June, named as the pitcher of the month. Tell us a little bit about the success and what kind of led to that for you.
Yeah, I think it kind of just starts with having confidence in my teammates. It makes it a lot easier on me to go out there and pitch and, you know, have confidence when we have one of the best defenses in the league behind us. There were some outings where, you know, strikeouts were a big factor, but when, you know, I didn't have my stuff on those days, you know, the defense behind me is just making every play that comes to them. So, you know, it just makes it really easy knowing that I have that strong of a defense playing behind me.
You know, one of the things that I thought was so impressive about the run that you had was it wasn't like you were winning games 9-1 or something. Now, they were very close contests. Do you enjoy pitching when the pressure is more like that, so you have to keep your A game on all the time?
I wouldn't say I really enjoy it because, you know, I don't think any pitcher would mind having a lot of runs up on the board, but I think it definitely keeps you locked in for a lot longer. You know, like when you start to give up base runners, I think it, like, that's when it really starts to kick in, like, I really have to lock in and, you know, go and fight for this team now even more than what I already was.
Now, Anthony, talk to us a little bit about Christian was relieving for you guys last season. You move him into the starting rotation. What led to that for you?
He's always been a natural starter. Last year we looked at him as maybe a bullpen option that was, you know, he's usually 94, 96, but, you know, out of the bullpen, maybe he's going to be 97, 98. And we thought maybe, you know, it was just a different look for hitters and, you know, it was more beneficial to the team at the beginning of last year. So we switched that up, though, pretty quick, I believe, halfway through the year. And then obviously he had the strong performance in the playoffs for us, which led to, you know, his confidence and rolling into 2023. So, you know, he's a natural starter and got a nice, you know, repertoire on the mound. So. He's really, you know, dialed in and given us a chance to win every time out there.
Christian, are you a guy who really prefers that starting nod or the bullpen? What's kind of your feel when you're out on the hill? Which do you prefer?
I'd absolutely prefer the start. I think starting, you have more of a routine you can get in, and it just makes everything feel more comfortable. You know, knowing what you have to do to prepare for each outing you're going to go out there and do every single week.
You know, I have to tell you that last year's postseason, one of the most impressive parts about that, the team is trailing the championship series. You go out there and toss 5 shutout innings against a very good Fargo team to keep your team alive in the postseason. Just a fantastic outing. How did, you know, talk to us a little bit about how you prepped for that game or how you viewed the game when you went out there?
I was definitely nervous. I think it was probably the most nervous I was all year, but treat it like any other game. You know, don't get too high, don't get too low, and, you know, just go out there and compete and pound the strike zone like I tried to do. And you know, last year, trust the defense behind you to make plays. Less than everybody around you.
Anthony, that was a big call for you out there. Talk to us a little bit about your decision making leading into that.
It wasn't that tough of a decision. You know, I know Christian's background and I know how tough of a kid he is, so I knew he was going to be ready for that opportunity, and he had just done it in game 3. Against Chicago earlier on in the playoffs. So, you know, he was already in the do-or-die playoff game, and he came out and performed, and he sort of rolled that over to championship series against Fargo. So Christian's a tough guy, and, you know, I think, like he said earlier, tougher the the moment, the more locked in he is. So, you know, it was something where as a manager I had a tough feeling. And, I mean, you know, looking back at it, it gave us the opportunity to give A.J. Shugel that extra day of rest, too. So, you know, overall, I wouldn't have changed anything from that series.
So, Christian, you finish up your college career. What made Milwaukee the right decision for you personally?
You know what? In 2019, when I finished college, Anthony actually called me, asking me to come here and play with him. And I thought at the time in 2019 I was kind of just over the thought of baseball. And, you know, there was a league I was playing in up in Ontario, Canada for a little while, just to keep having fun, I guess. But after COVID, I kind of wanted to get back into, you know, just that real competitive feel of it. And I started texting Anthony asking if he had any spots open. And sure enough, a couple weeks go by and we were able to work something out. And, you know, the rest is history. I've loved it here in Milwaukee.
Yeah, Rob, you know, me and Christian sort of have a history together too, back in 2016 and 2017. He pitched for me back in the Perfect Game League, Summer Collegiate, Wood Bat League, when he was in college. So I had a history. We're both from, you know, we're both from Western New York. So very familiar with Christian and you know, his career. So it was an opportunity. I thought, you know, this is going to be, a great fit. And it's all worked out really well. And give him all the credit for working hard and seizing the opportunity.
So, Christian, does that mean that you're as diehard of a Buffalo Bills fan as Anthony?
I'd have to say so, yeah. I love my Bills.
So what happened in the playoffs last year? I mean, this team looks like they're on the cusp of going to the next level. What do you think that's going to take?
I'm sorry, could you repeat that?
I said Buffalo looks like they're on the cusp of getting to the next level, like being a real Super Bowl contender. What's it going to take to get to that spot?
You know, it's too early to tell right now. I mean, it does seem like they're kind of having a little off-the-field troubles, but, you know, they just got to go out and compete every week. And they're professional athletes. They know what they have to do to get there, and it's just going to come down to playing hard and, you know, trusting the guy next to you every day.
Let's hear the Anthony Barone analysis on how we're going to get to the Super Bowl this year.
Josh Allen. Yeah, he's a superstar, and I think the NFL is a quarterback-driven league, so, you know, I think he's just going to have to out-duel Mahomes or Joe Burrow and get us to, you know, that next step. So he's gifted enough to do that. So, you know, we got to put the ball in his hand and everyone follow.
Well, Christian, let's jump back into the season here for a moment. You have a couple of tough outings to begin the year. Both are wind up being losses, Cleburne and Kansas City. Then all of a sudden it looked like things just clicked for you right there at the end of May. Did you feel something different about that game when you took the hill against Fargo?
You know what? I don't even think it started with Fargo. I think it started in the fourth inning in Kansas City. You know, we had a battle through a little bit of adversity through those first, like, three innings. They obviously weren't going too well, but I just felt like something clicked, and ever since that point, I just kept carrying what I had and what I found into each and every of the next outings.
I mean, three earned runs since that time. I mean, that's just ridiculous when you consider that. How do you feel when you're going to the hill? Are you feel like you're in some kind of a zone, or you're just going through the normal routine for yourself?
I'd say it's like just going through a regular routine. You know, I was just trusting like every day's work that I put in throughout the week, and you know, just try not to really change too much. I mean, if it's not broken, don't fix it. You know, I don't like to think too much of what I'm doing, and, you know, just trust everything I'm doing throughout the week and watching it all work out on the field. fun.
You talked a lot about your defense out there. That was a bit of a challenge for the team last year, probably the one spot where Milwaukee was not at the highest level. Do you feel like it's a little different this season for the club?
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know exactly like where we're rated in defense this year, but you know, it's fun to watch like Gabriel Cancel just go out there short and just be a brick wall and just make every single play, and it's so fun to watch. And just Reggie Pruitt in center field, just it almost seems like he wants to go and play left center and right field. He's all over the place and catches everything. It's fun to watch, and you know, those guys are out there competing just like I am, and you know, I have their back and I know they got mine, and just play that to our advantage.
Anthony, let's talk about that a little bit, because I know that when we had you on the show after the season, you did say that this was one area where you really wanted to upgrade. Second in the league in fielded percentage this year. It looks like mission accomplished for you.
Yeah, and it's, you know, it starts up the middle. You know, Christian talked about Reggie in center and Cancel at short, and Torres has been good at second. And, you know, our catchers, the tandem with Morales and Bellego, have been special two guys that are back there. So it's a really, really fun group to watch play defensively. And I think it gives, you know, our pitchers right now, you know, we're leading the league in ERA and least amount of walks. And our pitchers have confidence that if they put the ball in the zone, we're going to make the play. So, you know, it's a lot different team than last year. I mean, I'm not going to discredit what we did last year because we had an excellent season, but that was something we wanted to do, was upgrade our defense. And, you know, the plan so far has worked for 45 games.
Christian, Anthony brought up Cam and Roy. You know, I think no relationship in sports requires greater trust in between a pitcher and a catcher. So how do you build that relationship with your catchers?
You know what? It's honestly pretty easy. You know, they have to go out there and catch you every single day. So, I mean, they're trying to learn you just as much as you're trying to learn yourself from the start of the season. But it was super easy, actually, with Cam Bellego, because we went to the same school together, Mercer University up in the UVA. So we knew a lot of similar people that we played with there. So we got along real quick, and I'm pretty sure me, Cam, and Roy Morales were all up in Milwaukee a couple weeks early. So we got to really build a good relationship, you know, before a lot of people even showed up. Yeah.
You know, you had such success in the postseason last year. I mean, did you feel like you entered this season expecting that this was going to be a really big year for you?
I did. Especially with that, like, the last Fargo outing, you know, going into this year, I kept trying to just, like, picture what I was doing in those games and try to really focus on carrying that over into this year and, you know, competing the same way I was that game, every single game of the year.
Anthony, you've been using a lot of the staff for six innings. You have a great bullpen out there. Do you feel like you're just asking a starter to give you six innings and you're not wanting more out of them to keep them fresher? How are you viewing the way you're using the staff right now?
No, I mean, we expect, you know, I think they expect to go six, and, you know, we want them to go at least six. But, you know, at the end of the day, we're trying to make sure we still value the pitch count, and, you know, where we have a good bullpen and we can save these starters a bit more for the end of the year when you know, we start getting into August, September baseball, where our starters can be a little bit more fresh. So I think that's the advantage of having a good bullpen and trusting your bullpen arms. And, you know, we can really give those starters, you know, the starters obviously are competitive. They want to go as many as they can, but we also have to try to look at the smart route and, you know, do things that are beneficial for the end game, not just like the current game.
you know, I'm curious, Christian, about this staff. I mean, you're having a phenomenal season. Gregory Vasquez go with a little bit better ERA than you right now. Ryan Zimmerman right there. Frankie Bartow has looked great so far early on. Are you guys, you know, kind of have a little competitive contest going against each other down there with that rotation?
Honestly, no, I don't think so at all. We're all pretty much there to just support each other and want to see each other go out there and just do good and compete every single outing. There's no real competitiveness between, like, numbers or anything.
A fairly young group, though, in the rotation.
Yeah,
oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
It's pretty funny, though. Every time one of those guys comes off the mound, like, they give each other the nickname of Ace. Like, I think, I don't know what that's all about, because I just know, like, whoever's pitching the best that week, like, they call him Ace. So it's something pretty nice to see. They have a really healthy, you know, relationship as far as the pitching staff. So it's good to see.
Yeah, a fairly young group, too. It doesn't look, I mean, Ryan Zimmerman, I think, is the old man of that staff, and he's a young guy as well. Do you guys, like, have a good relationship with each other beyond the field, beyond the diamond?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think me, Ryan, and Frankie have all gone golfing quite a few times this year. And we have that Lux golf base right next to our field, and, you know, guys are up there all the time just, you know, spending time with each other and getting our mind off baseball when we can.
So who's, you can tell us, who's the best golfer among the three of you?
It's definitely Ryan Zimmerman. Definitely Ryan.
Well, all right. That's a good thing to know. So,
yeah.
Go ahead.
I go to the golf, the driving range and the course to hit the ball as hard as I can. Zim's got the whole package. He's got it all.
Well, as you look forward to the season here, you guys are playing exceptional baseball right now. The team up at the top of the division with Cleveland chasing after you guys. What do you see heading forward right now? What does Milwaukee look like as the season's going along here?
Is that a question for me or Anthony?
Yeah, both of you can answer that. That'd be great. Both of you can tell me.
Well, I'll start, I guess. I mean, just doing sort of the same thing we've been doing and keeping it one day at a time. And, you know, the more I've done this, we have to understand there's always going to be a couple peaks and valleys. And I think just trying to stay consistent with our everyday approach. And we know with a group of guys we have in here that, you know, at the end of the year, if we just do what we're supposed to do and stay consistent, play hard, that we're going to have a chance. And, you know, we want to go to the ballpark every day. And I think it starts, like, you know, I'd say it every day. It starts with your pitching and your defense. And that's a really good formula to be in ball games every game. So, yeah, at the end of the year, you know, we hope, you know, our goals, you're always make the playoffs. And, you know, from there, you try to compete to win a championship. Christian, well, I don't know what you guys think, but you guys are, you know, you guys talk amongst each other quite a bit in the clubhouse, so.
What do you think, Christian? How are you seeing Milwaukee as the season's going along here?
Yeah, I think, Anthony, you said it pretty well. Like, you kind of just have to take these games one day at a time. You can't really, like, shift your focus to, you know, who we're playing a week from today, or, you know, what the next outing is going to be. It's like you got to sit there and focus on what team you're playing today, and, you know, don't look over anybody.
2 weeks from tonight, the All-Star game there in Milwaukee. I know it's exciting to be chosen to be an All-Star, but is it more exciting for you knowing that you're playing in front of your own home fans?
Oh, absolutely. I think I'm most excited to not really have to go and travel anywhere. You know, I get to sleep in my own bed each night, get up and, you know, come to the field and just keep doing what I love. And it's definitely more exciting, you know, getting to play in front of the home crowd.
So, Anthony, are we going to get a little scoop? Is it going to be Christian Young getting the start in the All-Star game?
He's getting the start, 100%.
All right.
The ball. Yeah, he's earned
That's
it.
That's going to be nice to hear.
Yeah, he's earned it, and I think being in Milwaukee, he deserves it, and, you know, it's going to be a great honor for him to throw the first, you know, pitch of the All-Star game. So, looking forward to it, and, you know, each and every year, our fan support gets greater, and it's going to be really nice to have your, you know, this All-Star game in Milwaukee, and, you know, our owner, Mike Zimmerman, put so much effort into the whole project up there between restaurants, entertainment, and baseball stadium, and I think everyone's going to be able to see what we have to offer up there, and it's going to be a great time.
Anthony, how amazing is it for you that four of your starters are in that All-Star game? Or your starting pitchers. I think that's spectacular.
Well, I'll be honest. I mean, so the way it works, you know, I had to choose the reserves and the pitching staff. So when I, you know, sat down to do all that, I didn't want to, like, look too biased because they're my own players. But, you know, statistically speaking and just looking at everything as a whole, they all deserve it. And it's a great feeling knowing that we pretty much, you know, had the same starting five in the rotation all year. We've had a couple little tweaks here and there, but, you know, we've had a good consistent performance, and all those guys deserve – every guy that made that All-Star team deserved it, not only our guys but the other guys. And, you know, I'm happy for them and all the hard work they put in, and we wouldn't be where we are without those guys.
So, Christian, give us your prediction. I don't know if they're going to compete in it, but if Roy, Brian, Cam, or Gabriel is in the home run derby, can any one of those four guys come away with the title?
I think so. I think anyone can there. I think if I'm going to go with anybody, it's going to be Cam Bellego. We just got to hope that the wind might be blowing out that day, because so far this season the wind's been howling in, and not too many home runs have been hit in Milwaukee this year.
Lake Michigan, Rob. Lake Michigan. So we need to hope for a home run derby where the wind is blown out a bit, because, like Christian said, if it's not, we might have to move the home plate to pitcher's mound.
Yeah. Somebody's going to win with three? Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah, it's very realistic. Yeah. Yep.
I would gather, Christian, you like pitching in a ballpark where, you know, it's not easy to hit home runs very often there.
Oh, believe me, the first thing I do when I show up to the field is look and see which way the flags are blowing. So when I do show up to the field and see that the flags are blowing in, it's a good feeling. But either way, you still just got to go out and do what you're going to do every day.
What's the one ballpark that you wish you weren't pitching in each season?
I want to say King County plays very big. So I feel like King County is, like, the most pitcher's ballpark in the league.
Interesting. Now, you know, I'm kind of curious. You haven't had the chance to get to affiliate ball. I know you were drafted earlier on, but the season you're having, I got to figure somebody's taking a look at you. Are you given any impression about where you're standing with some of the clubs out there?
With some of the what?
With some of the affiliate clubs, some of the major league organizations, you know, kind of anyone express interest in getting you signed to join them?
You know, I don't really personally talk to any scouts, so, I mean, I kind of just leave everything to Anthony, and, you know, I just have to keep going out there and, you know, showing what I can do, and, you know, if I keep doing what I'm doing now, they can't keep denying me, so, like, eventually it's got to happen if I keep putting up numbers.
Yeah, Rob, we try to, there have been, he's been a very hot topic this season. So there's been a lot of interest, and me, I tell Christian the same thing. Just go out there and be so good that they can't deny you anymore, because right now they're all making a mistake not signing them. So, he's definitely ready to go to AA or wherever they need him. And it's just something where this is the process, and he's been a true professional about it, and he's going out there and doing his job. And, like you said before, you can't look too much into the future, and you just got to take care of what the present is, because, baseball is a humbling game, and, if he starts focusing on that stuff, then the results aren't there, and then, then it's even more difficult to get signed. So just got to keep doing what he's doing, and some club is going to be, very lucky when they do sign him, because he's the type of guy that can get to the big leagues probably quite quickly. So.
Well, it always seems like 11 guys from your team are heading to an affiliate club at some point during the season, so I'm sure
That's what's frustrating is we every year we pretty much lead the league with guys signed, and this year just for whatever reason it hasn't happened yet, and we're waiting, and I tell the guys the same thing. It's just got to keep going, and it's not for lack of being in the right place. He's in the right place and right organization, and we work hard every day to make sure these guys have the opportunity.
Christian, when you enter a season, do you set goals for yourself and what you want to accomplish during that year?
I don't set too strict of goals. I think going into this year, I kind of just said to myself, it'd be cool to be an all-star this year, and I don't think about it every start, but I think being an all-star was my one kind of goal this year, aside from obviously getting picked up by an affiliated club.
Do you then, now that you've reached that mark, are you kind of changing goals for this year? Okay, well, now I got to go to the next level and see what I'm going to do this year. So are you looking to set some other mark for yourself this year?
I guess, since the whole All-Star selection's already, happened, my next goal would just be to hopefully get signed and picked up by an affiliated club. And, that's kind of something that's, out of my control. But I just need to keep doing what's in my control and going out and performing for Milwaukee. And I'm hopeful that someday somebody will come around and, things will turn out for the better. But for right now, I'm happy in Milwaukee, and I'll continue to show up every day and put the work in that I need to be successful here.
Well, that's fantastic, Christian. I greatly appreciate you joining me here tonight. And since you're a first-time guest, you're probably unaware of this, but we always give our guests the opportunity to give us a final thought. So whatever you'd like to talk about this evening, the floor is yours.
I just want to thank you for having me and Anthony on. And, it's been a pleasure. And, I'm looking forward to the rest of the season, and especially the All-Star game in 2 weeks. So other than that, I think that's all I got.
Fantastic. Christian Young, thanks for joining me this week.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Well, Anthony, that was great having Christian on here tonight. Just for fans out there, as a manager, what's it like for you going with a guy having a guy out there that's pitching so well for you, just knowing you're going to get great outings every time, it seems like?
Yeah, you give him the ball, and, the way he's going right now, you just try to get a couple runs, and but, one of these games, hopefully we can get him a little bit more run support, and he can relax a little bit and pitch. But, no, it's been good. He's been everything we, and more that we could have imagined this year. So really, really excited for him.
Now, we talked a little bit about the All-Star team, but 8 guys chosen from Milwaukee on the club, 2 were named as starters for you. you know, Kevin and I were talking a couple of weeks ago about the fact that it looks like this league has really become Fargo, Milwaukee, and Kansas City are just a bit above everybody else over the last few years. And it's not surprising. Fargo had 8 players as well. It looks like you guys have really established yourselves as, you know, the team to beat, it seems like, every year now.
Well, it's a lot of hard work, you know, and we try to continue to be consistent every year with the type of players that we get. We work extremely hard on it, and it's, you know, I've always said it, you know, the better players you have, the better, the more consistent record you're going to have year in and year out. So it's like we just need to continue to get good players and put them in the right positions. But, you know, Kansas City, the league, you can't take a day off. It's the league is very good, you know, and I know at the end of the year, like I've said before, we have goals, you know, and I think each individual on this team has an understanding of where, you know, we want to be come September. And we're just, you know, each year we're just trying to put a good product out there, and, you know, it's becoming hopefully a destination for free agents who want to come play in Milwaukee. So it's been a good little run here, and, you know, we have a lot of business still to take care of. So it's still very early in the year, and we have a tough week ahead of us right now.
Now, I have to tell you that in the power rankings that Kevin puts out each week, he has you guys in third this week. So before we talk about some of the other teams, do we have any criticism of Kevin for having you a couple of spots lower than you probably deserved to be?
Hey, you guys didn't believe in us last year in the playoffs, so it's it's fine. You guys can rank us wherever you want. We're going to still continue to play. And no, I mean, we do value being looked at as a good team. I think, you know, we have a lot of pride on this team. So, you know, we just go out every day and try to show people, you know, how good we can be. So, no, the rankings are the rankings. And, you know, at the end of the year, we just want to be playing in that last game. So,
well, let's talk a little bit about Kansas City with me. A team that went through a lot of changes in their team this year. I mean, very few bat players back from last season. Got off to a little bit of a rough start, but Joe Calfapietra, a guy like you who finds a way to win all the time, really got this team going. As you look at this club, what is it about Kansas City that you look at that has made them so successful so far?
No, they hit, and their ballpark, if you don't play there often, is very, very difficult to play at. You know, and I know Joe does a great job just getting the type of players for that ballpark that complement the type of the way it plays. So, you know, every year Joe's going to go out and get great players, and you know, and I would say, you know, their athleticism, their power offensively, and they always have a couple power arms that are really good. So, they're up there for a reason.
Fargo was second in the power rankings this week. You're going up to play them. You and I are talking right now. You're on the bus heading on your way to Fargo.
Yeah.
A little bit different team than what you saw last year. Let's talk about Carell Prime, first of all. He jumps into the rotation, doing a great job for the club.
Yeah, you know, we saw it last year with us. You know, gave him an opportunity to get on the mound and did really well. Unfortunately, we sort of had to cut it a little short with some injuries, not only, you know, from a team standpoint, and then he got injured, I think, 35 games left in the season. So we knew he could do it, and I was happy that he, you know, when he made the trade to Fargo, that was, you know, part of the deal. They were going to give him the opportunity to pitch, and he's run with it, and I know he really enjoys it. So Carell's a great guy, and you always wish all these guys the best. So we're thinking, you know, we think of him every time we see him. So I'm glad he's doing well.
You know, I was talking about this with Kevin last week. I'm curious about your thoughts about this, because this is a team that's lost a lot of players this year. Dylan Thomas left a few days ago. That Reed Burlingmeyer headed to affiliate balls a bit. But they've been able to make trades with the American Association to fill spots. It would seem to me that you don't want to be helping Fargo right now. So it would be the last team that you want to make a trade with. What's the logic behind that, I guess, is what I'm curious.
I mean, it just depends on the return. We, you know, some of these trades, we don't know what's promised on the back end of the trade. So, you know, I know all these managers do a good job, and Jeff Bittiger does a great job with player procurement up in Fargo. So, I can definitely see that value. I've always, you know, if I trade, I like to stay out of our division and try to trade within, you know, outside of the division in the other league. So I can't really speak for other teams, but it's, you know, I know Fargo did lose. Dylan Thomas was a really good player. And, you know, I know Silviano's been banged up a little bit. So, you know, they got to get more out. You know, they're going to, you know, Boscan and Pena and Dexter and their whole group of guys, they know how to win. So, you know, those guys just have to chip in a little bit more and more than they already do. And, you know, sort of pick up the slack with those other guys. And, you know, they got a good rotation. So, you know, Fargo, they don't really need any more help. So, yeah, you're right. I mean, it's, But you know, like I said, I don't know on the back end of the trades what you know what's promised. So you know, maybe it's worth it.
Talking about the team trailing you now, the Cleveland Railroaders. You guys go there, take 4 out of 6, and then they travel out and take 4 out of 6 in Lake Country. Come home and take 4 out of 6 from Fargo. This is a team that has looked very good, but the one team they struggled against recently was you guys. What did you see in this club that helped you to be so successful against them?
Well, I mean, they were really successful against us early in the year at our place. But, you know, it's weird how you play at different ballparks and sometimes you just feel comfortable at a ballpark. And your hitters feel comfortable and, you know, it just, We seemed to do, you know, we went down there and, you know, maybe it was that, you know, the right, you know, we were playing well and we went down there and hot, they were hot and we were hot and just, you know, a couple plays here and there when it's a, you know, 4 games to 2 games, I mean, it's just really a matter of a game. You know, and I think, you know, like what really has helped us this year is just being so sound defensively. When you play a really good offensive team like Cleburne, you have to play well defensively. You can't give them any extra outs, and that's something where we've done a really good job of, you know, preventing that this year. So I think that was something we matched up well with them is defensively and just going out there and making the plays.
Now, they have a 5 guys on the All-Star team. All 3 of their outfielders are making the classic game. The best outfield in the American Association right now, do you think?
I mean, if you look at it offensively, they're Marrier, Karaviotis, Phil Alexander. Yeah, it's a very, very offensive, outfield. So any of those 3 guys can hurt you. Marrier is one of the better defenders out there in the league. So, I would probably say at the top 2 or 3 in the league, just off the top of my mind, but now that you say they got 3 All-Stars, yeah, it's, I'd say it is, yeah.
I know Zach Marrier was a guy you had with you in 2020. He had a disappointing regular season, then came alive in the postseason, has been great since. What do you feel has kind of helped him he was talking to us about he was going to retire after 2020, but decided to come back. How do you feel he turned that back around again?
It could be just a comfort level, you know, like he played in Cleburne, you know, maybe 2020, it was just, you know, in the 60 game, you know, it was a sprint, and, you know, if you don't start off hot, you're pressing, and, but, you know, back in Cleburne, he's comfortable, he's in the good surroundings where he's used to it. Obviously, Cleburne's more of a hitter-friendly ballpark, so, those things, people, you know, the fans, the average fans don't look at that stuff. Like, you know, there's certain ballparks in this league that are just better offensive ballparks. So numbers are going to be different. You know, it's, you know, that's why I always said what Adam Walker did in Milwaukee, hitting 30 whatever home runs. I mean, if he played in most ballparks, he would have hit 40 or 50. So it's, you know, you got to look at the whole body of work and you know, where they're doing it. And I think Zach's just comfortable down in Cleburne, and he's a great guy and plays the game the right way. And, you know, he's a very, you know, very good baseball player.
Let's talk about Chicago with me. This is one of the more interesting teams that I find, Anthony, because it just doesn't seem, this team is either really hot or really struggling. And I'm just kind of curious, as a manager facing against these guys, how do you prep for a team like that when you just don't know whether you're getting the hot Chicago or the struggling one?
I treat every game the same. But no, I mean, like I said before, they have a lot of good arms, a lot of good players. Sometimes teams click in different ways. Chicago, you know, there's another ballpark where, you know, it's tricky there. So, like, some teams go in there and they start getting a lot of confidence offensively because it's such a hitter-friendly ballpark, you know, and you know, it's like their eyes light up when they get in there. So it's like some players, they go there, it's like a kid in a candy store and they're ready to hit. So there's certain things where, you know, it's just baseball. You know, you catch a team on a hot streak and, you know, maybe they did. And just like, you know, Sunday, yesterday, we faced Lake Country and just their pitcher was extremely good. And there was nothing we could do about it. It was just one of those days. So if you string those types of days together where you catch teams that are hot, it's, you know, you can go on those types of streaks. But no, Chicago, I mean, they got Lidge, Botcher, Altman. I mean, they're very talented, good rotation, and good arms at the back end of the bullpen. So, you know, they're gonna be right there at the end too.
Speaking of Botcher, Josh Altman named as a starter. Then you added Botcher and Ryan Lidge to the club. Matt Botcher just looked ridiculous over the last month. As you're watching him, what kind of got him going, do you think?
No, he's got good bat-to-ball skills. Doesn't try to do too much up at the plate. He takes what the pitcher gives him, and he's sort of an old-school hitter. Not going to strike out much, and you know, he's sort of their spark plug there at the beginning of the lineup. And if you can try to contain him, you got a good chance of, you know, not shutting him down, but you got a better chance of winning the ball game.
Now, another team that's been very interesting and the inconsistency of them this season has been the Sioux City Explorers. They got off to a very fast start, have been struggling kind of on and off right now for a while there, but they get Matt Lloyd back and some guys like that. Do you feel like this team's in a position that they could make a serious run?
Yeah, I mean, me and Mongo talked quite a bit. You know, I know he got off to a good start, and then they got hit by the injury bug a little bit, and then I know Lloyd and Stanford, they had to do the Team Canada Pan Am game. So, you know, when you lose your, you know, you're probably your best player for multiple weeks, that's tough. So, you know, he's had to deal with that. And, you know, I just think, you know, there's sometimes too, the way the schedule lines up. I know we talked earlier, he had to go down to Texas. He's had a tough, like, road schedule. And sometimes that can, you know, that can wear a team down. So, he, they'll be right. You know, they have really good arms and, they have a lot of talent, so they're going to be another team, I think, you know, right there at the end. And he knows how to win. So I'm sure he'll figure out what he needs to do.
A team that looks like they're putting things together is the Lincoln Salt Dogs. If they can figure out the back end of their bullpen, they look like a team that could really be a danger in this league.
Yeah, I've been paying attention. We haven't played them yet, so. You know, I know Brett, he's another guy. He's, you know, he's been around for a while, and he gets the most out of his players. And I haven't seen him yet. I've heard that, you know, they play the game really hard and they play the game the right way. And I know Devine's had a good year at short, and Panis is a really good, you know, hitter in their lineup, and Anderson's been good. And pitching, you know, we gave Will Kenzer's back, you know, over there on their team. So, it's going to be a professional lineup that, you know, you got to, you know, their ballpark, you know, it's always tough to play in.
So, Brett, obviously he's done this for a while, and, he seems to get, push all the right buttons and do what's necessary to get his team in position.
A team that could, I guess, stake claim to them being the top rotation against you guys would be King County. They have three guys in Weston Muir, Tyler Beardsley, and Jack Fox that have looked great this season. You guys face each other in playoffs, that looks like that'll be a great pitching matchup.
I'll be honest, that's not one of the more, that's a tough series you go into facing, Muir, Beardsley, and Fox. That's a really good rotation, and they all are very deserving of their all-star appearances, and, the back end with Bees, he's really good. So, they're a handful. I mean, we played them twice. I think we beat them 2 out of 3, then they took 2 out of 3. So we have one more series against them. You cannot – those games against them, I mean, you look at matchups and different things, and that'd be a very pitcher-dominant matchup with them, between our starters and their starters. And, it's definitely a grind. When you play King County, it's a grind. You got to really play good baseball.
It looks like, from the pitching standpoint, that you guys are very similar. They finally have their, as you talked about, Bees has pitched very well, so they have their back end of their bullpen looking better. It looks like the significant difference is they're just not getting a lot of offense right now.
Like I said, you almost, sometimes you got to look at the ballparks too. And their ballpark, it plays big. And the other thing too, people, being in Milwaukee, Chicago, King County, far early in the year, the weather's not, conducive to offense. So, it's cold. It's windy. It's cold. You're battling the elements. So, I'm assuming King County, with the players they have, their offense will get going. And, they pair that up with their pitching, they're a handful.
The Winnipeg Gold Eyes have been a team struggling a lot lately, Anthony. It looks like Greg Taggart tried to get a feel for how things were in Gary and get that kind of approach to the team here. I kind of wonder for this club right now, Kevin and I have talked about the fact that there isn't a lot of, great finds out there right now. I mean, it looks like it's not a lot of great players available. I wonder if Winnipeg has enough beyond Max Murphy to really be able to compete right now.
Well, we haven't seen Winnipeg since we played them in exhibitions, and Greg he's done a wonderful job, and he's a legend in indie ball. So right now, just to be honest, just out there, there's not a whole lot of free agents out there. You got to sort of take what you have and make the most out of it. I've been following them recently, and they just got a couple of their guys back too from the Team Canada Pan Am game. So they played Kansas City really well at Kansas City. They were close to winning 2 out of 3, and I'll get a better gauge. We play them up there this week, so I know they're going to play fast. They're gonna they have a lot of good athletes on their team. So they got that third baseman that's hitting well. Seabrook's throwing well, and they're gonna Gonzalez behind the plate's pretty good. So I wouldn't sleep on Winnipeg at all. I think, playing up in Canada is extremely difficult. I know not every team usually gets all their guys over to Canada. So it's an extremely, difficult trip to go up there and win games. I wouldn't put it, past Greg to find a way to, get in the playoffs and do something.
So Gary, South Shore Railcats, another team that got off to a very quick start, has been struggling. They did take 2 out of 3 from you guys. How do you see this club right now in terms of battling in a very tough East division?
Well, they have a really good team. We played them just last week, and we played 2 1-run games, and I think we beat them 6-4. But they're, 1 through 9, they have quality at bats, very
good on the bases. Looking at their pitching numbers, they're very good. You know, they're a little bit younger, I think, than most teams, but a lot of that core is back from last year with Castillo, Mariaga. You know, Diaz is a really good player. So it's you know, Woodward, Lingua. They got guys with experience that are younger. So, you know, and Lamar lets his guys play, and they do a good job. So it's, like you said, though, I mean, our division is, it's a battle. You know, night in, night out. And I think what makes it, you know, difficult, too, is we have so many different style ballparks in our division. So you're playing at different types of places. Whereas, like, in the Western Division, I think Lincoln and Kansas City, Sioux Falls, a lot of those places, the ball, they're more offensive ballparks. You get used to a style of play. And then in our division, it's always a constant change of the style of play. But weather-based size of ballpark. So in our division, you never know. It's a different style of baseball every night. So that's what's challenging. So maybe, you know, that's what's happened with, you know, Gary, but, you know, they fight you every night, tooth and nail. So, we're going to be there at the end competing.
I'm curious of your evaluation. Matt Leon was acquired. I'm assuming Lamar saw him as the closer, but DJ Wilkinson has been phenomenal for this club. What has made him so good, do you think?
Well, you know, he's a guy who'll be on the All-Star team, and he got a power arm, keeps the ball low in the zone, and he challenges you. You know, he comes right at you. So it's a fastball and a slider, and he's gonna come right at you. He's not gonna screw around, and he's a bigger guy, 6'5" maybe. So the ball seems to like get on top of you pretty good, and you know, the biggest thing is, as a bullpen guy, is you throw strikes. You know, you give you a chance, give your defense a chance. Don't walk guys to, you know, help the team out later in the game. So Wilkinson's very good. He's a very good closer.
Jumping to Sioux Falls now, I know you've been friends with Mike Meyer for a while there. You got to see Sioux Falls when they came to Milwaukee a couple of weeks ago. They're 3-3 in their last six. A team just looking to try to get some starting pitching going for them to really keep them inside games. But looks like they have a few good guys that really could help to get this team going.
Yeah, I mean, their lineup is really good. We faced them at our place. But I saw they just took 2-3 against Chicago, at Chicago. And, you know, we faced Lang, I think, who shut us down pretty good. I don't remember who else we faced, but, you know, I think once their pitchers get out of Sioux Falls, they probably feel more comfortable. But, you know, Mike's a good friend, and he's put together a good team where, you know, like Sweeney and Hart's having a good year, and Plannett's a good center fielder, and the new guy they have, a short bar, I forget his last name, but he's pretty good. He came in from the Pioneer League.
Jordan Bart.
You know, so, yeah, him, yeah, Bart, yeah, that's what I thought. He's been good, and, they're getting good production, so, and their closer Hasty's done a nice job, too, so, it's just, like I said, it's, sometimes, you know, it's ballpark. I mean, maybe they play better on the road than they do at home, but, you know, when we saw them at our place, they were very good. And, you know, there's a lot of parity. A lot of parity, and a lot of teams can win games.
Now, King, you just got to see the Lake Country Dockhounds.
Yep.
Ken Huckabee looked like they had them on a bit of a roll. They've been okay recently. How do you see this team? What did you learn from this team over the last few days?
That they can hit. they hit 1-9. You got to be very careful with them. They're going to hit. They're going to have really good at bats. And you know, their closer Torres is really good. Good arm. You know, and we faced Augie Boyd on Sunday, and he just completely shut us down for 6 or 7 innings. So, I mean, everything's for them going forward is if they can get pitching,
with their offense, they're going to be dangerous. And their ballpark, I'm sure you've seen it, it plays really small. So it's tough to pitch there from what I understand. So it's going to be, you know, everything's, but Ken's a great guy. And, I didn't even know this, but yeah, his son Kyle Huckabee played for us last year. And, so Kyle kept it very quiet that his, you know, dad was a former big leaguer and that he was a coach. So, Ken's a great guy. You know, I got to talk with him this past series, and, I'm sure he'll do a great job over in Lake Country.
Now, I would be interested to hear your thoughts. It looked like when the season began that offense was going to be down. And I don't expect the team to hit 165 home runs this season. What's wrong with that? But it looks like over the last few weeks, maybe the last month, we're starting to see offense really to pick up. Is this going to be the season where pitching is more dominant, or do you see offense getting back and being the big key again this year?
In the league, you mean?
Yes, overall for the league.
Yeah, well, as the temperatures warm up, pitchers start getting a little bit more tired, fatigued, it becomes a very hitter-friendly league. Because all the conditions are then, you know, it's a perfect element to hit right now. So, you expect the offense to tick up as the season goes on, because pitchers are going to wear down a little bit. So, I think that's a fair assumption, and I think you'll start seeing that.
With that being said, do you feel like you and teams like a Fargo, who has a number of good arms that could close out games, do you look at bullpens kind of being the key? Or what makes a difference for a team in a hitter-friendly league to ensure that they're battling for a playoff spot?
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot has to do with pitching. And, you know, I value a good bullpen, and we've always tried to have some really good bullpen arms to carry us through the season. I don't see it being any different. And last year, you know, that championship series, it came down to pitching and defense. So, and that's, I think, as the summer goes on, you'll see that more and more.
So let me give you two more questions before I have you head out on me here tonight. The first is, what went into your decision-making process to build the All-Star reserves and pitching staff?
I looked at numbers and got a feel of, you know, where teams were in the division and standings. And, you know, you're going to reward the teams that are playing good and, reward those players that are putting up numbers. So, basically with the staff, you look at ERA, strikeouts to walks, and hits per inning and all that stuff. And I thought, it was pretty clear cut, the guys we chose. And, offensively, I be honest with you, I looked at, a guy like Cam Bellego, who plays five different positions. He catches every other day. He's led our team, RBIs, home runs, and he's hitting 290. I think it was a very fair selection. And then you look at Gabe Cancel at short. He's hitting over 300 and made one error all year at shortstop. So those two guys is pretty clear cut. And with, Ryan Lidge, he's a perennial all-star, and, he's well-deserving of that. And Botcher leads the league in hitting. So, that's sort of how I tabulated that stuff. And, go from there. So,
Anthony, I have to share kind of an amusing story that I thought was, so I'm writing my daily recaps on games, and I misread the home run and hit batter stat on the line and saw that Cam had his eighth hit batter, and I said that was his eighth home run of the season. And Tammy Sarkowski wrote to me to say, "Rob, you got that wrong." And I was like, "Oh, man, I got to fix that," or whatever. And then what does he go do? He goes out and hits eight homers anyway. So I thought, okay.
Yeah, he's got he's had a really nice year for us and been, really a backbone of our team. You can really rely and depend on him. He's had a nice year.
So tell us, coming out here, how is the East wound up being the All-Star Game winners this year?
I think our pitching, you know, I think it's going to, you know, start and end with our pitching. And I think it'll obviously be a close game like most All-Star games. And I'm thinking it's going to be like a 4-3 game. And I think at the end it'll just come down to pitching, and the East will come out on top of the victory.
Well, since you're a veteran to the show, then you clearly know that you give us a great final thought. So, Anthony Brown, give us a great thought to take us out here today.
No, I appreciate you having Christian on the show. He's worked really hard to, you know, get where he's at, and it's really nice to see him have his success that he's had. And, you know, moving forward to the All-Star game is something that's really special. And I know for me, being in Milwaukee the last 5 years, it's going to be nice to host the All-Star game and see my players there and manage the game and, you know, represent what we're about there in Milwaukee. And, you know, I'm sure Mike Zimmerman's, you know, elated to have the game and showcase what he's done with, you know, with that property up there and all the great things he's provided for the community of Franklin. So it's for me, that's like something I'm really looking forward to, but we got to continue to play, you know, good baseball leading up to that. And it's starting to get to that time of the year where you start, you know, start thinking playoffs. You start thinking I personally do. I know I'd say take it one day at a time, but you're almost to the midway point and, you know, sort of wondering what moves you have to make and, you know, how you get your team better and get yourself prepared for the stretch run. So, you know, you always get that blood flowing, you know, when you start thinking about that stuff. And, you know, we're right where we need to be right now, but, you know, tough week ahead going up here to Fargo and Winnipeg. So, need to get through this one and hopefully, you know, we, come back into Milwaukee, you know, still, you know, playing good baseball. And, you know, it's been a good start to the season. You know, I really appreciate, you know, my staff, my coaches, you know, they're great guys, and we really, you know, they're also, you know, well appreciated by me, and you know, a lot of the success and having all our All-Stars, you know, that's attributed to what they do too, and it doesn't go unnoticed. So really, really, really thankful and grateful for the position I'm in and you know, the people I'm surrounded with by. And you know, and it's, you know, this bus trip was fun. You know, anytime you take a bus trip with a team and, you know, you sort of get to learn each other and you hear the guys, you know, it's time for them to gel and communicate. So these trips help you out in the long run.
Fantastic. Anthony Barone, I greatly appreciate you filling in tonight for Kevin, and great having you on the show.
Yeah, it was fun, and, you know, looking forward to, you know, the coming weeks, and always appreciate being on the show, Rob.
Well, excellent having Anthony on here tonight. I just want to close out with a few final thoughts here before sending out this week in the association for this week. First of all, I want to talk about player and pitcher of the month. We did mention, since Christian Young was on tonight, that he was the pitcher of the month for the month of June after going 4-1 with an unbelievable 0.60 ERA. The guy was just absolutely fantastic for the club during the month. Made 5 starts, was just untouchable. Held a 0.93 ERA, had a 23 straight scoreless innings that he tossed before finally giving up a couple of runs and a run and a victory for himself. Gave up 2 runs in his final decision of the month. A great pitching battle that the club wound up losing 3-2. So just a phenomenal month for him. Individually, and that pitching staff in Milwaukee is truly spectacular. That group is just no joke in terms of what they can deliver. So Christian Young, well deserving of the honors this week and or this month for the month of June. The player of the month was Jesus Mariaga from the Gary South Shore Railcats, who had a kind of one of those months that people just may not have noticed because Gary's struggling as a team, but he winds up hitting .353 with 27 runs scored and 27 RBI. The most consistent player probably in the American Association, is he just had 3 games during the month where he did not have a hit in a contest and just continually put up, you know, hits game after game after game. It's a guy that just has quietly become one of the best players in the American Association, named as an All-Star Game starter today, which we'll talk about here in just a minute. So congratulations to him. The league wound up going in a little bit different direction, and that's okay, but we were happy to go with our particular choices here today. For Player of the Week this week, Jordan Barth from the Sioux Falls Canaries, he winds up being the American Association Player of the Week, as named by This Week in the Association and the Minor League Sports Report, after hitting .500 with six doubles last week. Fantastic performance for a guy who has just become a very quality performer for this club, a guy that they have come to, I think, has exceeded expectations. I don't think that that's saying anything that anybody would shake their head at and go, well, I think you're not really giving credit where credit is due. He really has just delivered and become a guy that they believe is going to come out there and put solid performances, and playing great defense for them as well. Just a fantastic pickup by manager Mike Meyer. The pitcher of the week, Travis Seabrook from the Winnipeg Goldeyes. Travis began the week with a shutout victory over the Lincoln Salt Dogs, a 7-0 victory where he gave up six hits and a walk, struck out nine in the contest, becoming the second pitcher in the American Association this year to toss a complete game shutout. The first complete game shutout by a Winnipeg Goldeyes player, pitcher, I should say, since 2019, when Mitch Lamson did that. He came back with an outstanding performance in his second outing, gave up two early runs against Kansas City, and then tossed four scoreless frames after that. So he winds up going 2-0 with a 1.20 ERA in 15 innings. Well-deserving, the league chose him as well as their pitcher of the week, and just a well-deserving performance by him. Travis was absolutely spectacular. Should mention, Winnipeg had back-to-back shutouts in that series against Lincoln, a club that is really getting some outstanding starting pitching for themselves, and have a great starter there in Luis Ramirez, who didn't factor into one of those big shutouts, but the pieces are there. We're going to see what Winnipeg can wind up doing here. The American Association names their all-star teams today. The starters for the East Division are Josh Altman from the Chicago Dogs at shortstop, Jose Cermo at first base from the Cleveland Railroaders, all three Cleveland Railroaders outfielders, Zach Narrier, Mark Karabiotis, and Hill Alexander, also selected as starters. They also add Jesus Mariaga from the Gary South Shore Railcats as a starter. Blake Tiberi will be the second baseman from the Lake Country Dockhounds, and then Roy Morales behind the plate, and Brian Torres will be the two of the other starters for the East, and Max Murphy. No, Max Murphy's on the West. I'm sorry. So that closes out the East Division rosters. In terms of starters, also added to the teams, Matt Bocher and Ryan Lidge from the Chicago Dogs will be, Lidge as the backup catcher, Bocher as a utility infielder. They also add DJ Wilkinson, the closer for the Gary South Shore Railcats. From the Kane County Cougars, they have four additions to the team, Tyler Beardsley, Jack Fox, Weston Muir, who Anthony talked about, are very tough this season. Guys that are going to be making this Kane County team extremely formidable during the playoffs, especially for those three-game series. Keep in mind, fans, that it's the first two rounds of the playoffs, once again, will be three-game series, in those first two rounds. And a team like that that has an outstanding set of three starters is going to be able to sneak away. I mean, you know, how Milwaukee got to the championship last season was they had A.J. Schugel, who came out and dominated in the first game of every series, and then they got a great performance out of a guy like Christian Young, or Ryan Zimmerman had a fantastic outing in one of the playoff rounds. It takes just two victories is all you got to look at, and if you have three outstanding starters, you can sneak yourself all the way to the championship. So Kane County in a real position to be able to do that. Daniel Bees, the guy who has taken over for Kane County as the closer, has just done a fantastic job. He will also join the All-Star team. Lake Country adds Matt Schwerin as the to the pitching staff as well from the Dockhounds. Milwaukee with eight players, all well deserving. Anthony didn't stack the deck with guys who didn't deserve to be in the All-Star team. Campbell Ajo is having a fantastic season, as he mentioned, can play five positions and is having putting up big numbers. Gabriel Cancel has been very good. Then in the pitching staff, Frankie Bartow Gregory Vasquez, Christian Young, and Ryan Zimmerman all rank in the top 10 in ERA. All four of those guys have been really spectacular, giving Milwaukee the best rotation in the American Association so far this year. In the West, the starters named out there today are catcher Chris Herrmann from the Kansas City Monarchs, first baseman Mike Hart from the Sioux Falls Canaries, a fantastic addition as Hart is really coming into his own. A guy who left A guy who left Sioux Falls a couple of years ago to try out a couple of other leagues, went out there into the Frontier League and really played well last season, returns back to Sioux Falls, going to be an all-star this year. Fantastic performance by him. Second baseman Justin Wiley from the Kansas City Monarchs. They also add Matt Lloyd, third baseman from the Sioux City Explorers. Shortstop Drew Devine, having a spectacular season for the Lincoln Salt Dogs, will round out the infield. In the outfield, it's Evan Alexander from Fargo, Nick Anderson from Lincoln, Max Murphy from Winnipeg. Murphy is on a roll home run-wise. Nick Anderson's been battling for the home run lead so far this season, and Evan Alexander has turned into one of the most complete players in the league over this last couple of years. Darnell Sweeney also in the starting lineup from Sioux Falls Canaries, and Dylan Rosa from the Kansas City Monarchs. Going around the rest of the teams that are out there, Fargo also has eight players named to the team, Sam Dexter and B.J. Lopez. Lopez will be the backup catcher, with Dexter being one of the utility infielders. Reza Aliazes, and I know I'm not saying that right, so my apologies to him, will join the pitching staff, as well as Jake Dykoff, Tyler Grauer, Kevin McGovern, and Carell Prime. Working himself into the starting rotation this season, winds up being an all-star. He's been an all-star as a player, now as a pitcher. So congratulations to him for making the team out there. For Kansas City, they also add Trey Jeans and Jalen Miller. Miller had a fantastic week as well. It was well-deserving in making the team. The Sioux City Explorers add Vince Fernandez, Solomon Bates, last week's pitcher of the week. Fantastic for him, leading the league in strikeouts, well-deserving. And Kent Hassler also joins the team. And then Sioux Falls Canaries add Akeem Bostic, who's been phenomenal for them. And from the Winnipeg Goldeyes, Deson Cruz and Samuel Adams join the team as well. So that fills out the rosters. Out of Minor League Sports Report on Tuesday, I will have a breakdown of both the East and West Division teams, looking at that. And on Wednesday, I will have a look at those players who did not make the team, who definitely deserved to be part of that. Gio Diaz from the Gary Southshore Railcats is one example. So we'll look at who got snubbed out there. For Kevin, I do want to say out there at the 10th inning stretch, so at 10thinningstretch.blogspot.com, he has the power rankings out there. I went through them with Anthony here tonight, but if you want to get a more detailed analysis as well as who he thought was going to make the All-Star team, you can go out and check that out there. So once again, that's 10thinningstretch.blogspot.com. Which you can also link out there at the Minor League Sports Report. You can click on that link to it and get to see the rankings. Kevin changed this up to a shout out for the week here. So my shout out, I guess, will be to my grandson Dominic, who is going to be staying with me here for a couple years. My son-in-law finishes out his time in the Navy, so my daughter and her family moved out to stay with my wife and myself for a little while he's still finishing out his Navy time. And so my grandson is going to be staying with me, and I'm super excited about this because he's a incredible young man, and it's a little squirt too. So I get to pick on him and have a lot of fun with him all at the same time. So I'm going to give a shout out to him this week and roll with that. Kevin will be back with me next week as he's out there again enjoying Brian Adams with his wife here tonight, as he's probably singing at the top of his lungs, karaoke style, as he's enjoying every moment of heaven and whatever else Brian Adams sings, because I couldn't tell you another song from him, to be honest with you. So Kevin will be back with me next week. I want to thank Anthony Barone and Christian Young for joining me this week. That was fantastic having Anthony fill in for Kevin here tonight. He's always a great guest, and great to have Christian on as well. So for Kevin Lucco, I'm Rob Pannier. I'll see you next time on This Week in the Association.